This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for praying with me. I can't tell you, this is the highlight of my day. I love it. I love it so much. And this is such an extraordinary hour. Oh my gosh. Last week, during the pledge drive, you merciful souls have come through in unbelievable numbers. Let me just tell you what happened, because you're a big part of what went down. Yeah, we told you we had a huge goal to get, right? It was $2.7 million. That's a real number. It's not some arbitrary number that the accounting department pulls up. It's really what we need to do to get through the next several months, and we have four pledge drives. We're a big network. We reach a lot of souls. We're heard over 180-some radio stations around the country. We reach, 230 million souls. Just in the States, not counting what happens around the world. And a lot going on. And, I believe God gives us exactly what we need in life. You know, whether it's the healing we seek, whether it's the financial blessing that we need, whether, it's the right relationship. I mean, the Lord knows. We're in His hands. He created us. He's in complete control. Our problem is we think too much. Right? You know what I mean? We try to plan everything out. We try to look down the road. We try to solve our own problems. There's nothing wrong with doing your part. I mean, you have to do both. But God is in control. And when the pledge drive was underway last week, I just thought, something? God's going to give us exactly what we need. He'll touch hearts. And we not only hit our $2.7 million goal, and that sounds like just an astronomical number, and it is a big number, believe me, but we went over it. And right now we're about $50,000 away from the $3 million mark. And that's such a blessing. It gives us just a little bit of breathing room, buys us a little more time on the other end. And, we're just so grateful to you. And I just want to say thank you to you personally. I hold out a big cup when I come here. I asked you to support last week, and you never fail me. You come through in a big-time way. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for your friendship, for your prayers. And I want to pray for you now. I love interceding, and I love praying. I find a great joy in it, a great peace when you pray. The more you pray, the better things go for you. That's so true. The more you pray, the better things go for you. If you want to join me for the chaplet, you know the routine. I'm going to give you the telephone number because you might be new to Relevant. And we had a lot of listeners last week who said, I've only been listening for a short time. We join together every day across the nation and around the world with the faithful. We implore God's mercy, and we stand on the promises that the Lord gave to St. Faustina in the church-approved apparitions to her. And you can get in at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And I'm in the studio today with Chris Flood, my colleague here. She prays with me faithfully. Chris, always good to have you in studio.
Thank you.
Anything you want to lift up or pray for?
Yes, just I know Friday would have been a recorded chaplet, I believe. So I just want to pray.
It was live.
Oh, it was live. Okay, sorry. I wasn't listening. So I was working. I was working so hard. But
so, your answering phones, I know. It's a pledge drive.
Oh, I just wanted to pray for all mothers of all types, adopted mothers, women who wish they could conceive, mothers who've lost their children.
Yeah. Beautiful prayer. That is, Chris. Thank you. Pray for that. And we pray for those mothers that had bad Mother's Days. I want to pray for those mothers who are really having a bad day today, too. So I want to lift you up and just give thanks to God for mothers, in particular our spiritual mother, the Mother of Mercy, Our Lady, for her yes. And Chris, I know that you're feeling the prayer today. I can see it in you. So whatever is deep in your heart, I want to pray for that, okay? We'll lift that up. I told a colleague of mine I'd pray for a home that he just made an offer on. So I pray that that comes through if it's God's will for him, but God allow him to get it at a great price. And I also want to lift up, we were just talking in the last hour, the economy, right? I want to pray for all small businesses, all those restaurants that are struggling, all those people who are just trying to make ends meet. I want to pray for finances, for God's blessing on anyone who's under the weight of crippling debt, whether it's credit card or medical bills or whatever it may be, with student loans, health care, whatever it is. I said, God, we'll really lighten that load for you and really bless you. Things can change in an instant. I've seen it many times. Miracles happen, and that's what we want to pray for today. And Jake, before we begin, I know you said you wanted to jump into an intention.
Yeah, just praying really quickly for a young guy I met today at a church in downtown Green Bay. His name is Sharon. Just a really neat young guy, but he's down and out right now and is struggling with a lot of Just personal needs. So I'd lift him up in prayer today.
All right. And I love that. I love the fact that you can meet somebody and turn around and pray for them. Matt Dunbar, I'm praying for you. My wife and I have been praying for you like crazy, for you and your beautiful wife, Christine. So I just want you to know that if you're listening here. I often say sometimes intentions haunt me. People will write to me or they'll call. And I just, sometimes they pierce my heart or I can't get them out of my head. And you know, life is so strange and it can be so hard and it'll appear to be so unfair. And I just want to turn to God's mercy now and pray. So let's do that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus. But the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our first call today. It comes from Maria, listening in Southern California. Hi, Maria. Good afternoon.
Hi. Good afternoon. My prayer requests are for, I have a young friend. She's suffering from massive surgical adhesives, and she's looking for work to pay for good insurance to help her with her problems. Also for my son, who is suffering from stomach ulcers and he has a neurological condition. For a young man who is suffering from bipolar disorder. For my niece who has lymphedema healing. Also for myself, I've had a venous ulcer since January. Wow. I'm having a slow resolution and I have a lot of pain and I would like healing from that. And also, for my mother-in-law, she is cancer-free. For another friend who has recurring cancer, for another friend healing from a stroke, and for another friend, her name is Nahani, healing and protection for her and her mother, and also for Margarita.
All right.
And I believe that's all.
That's a great list. All right, Maria. I'm sure we have a litany of people and intentions we need to pray for. And let's take your intentions right now and let's present them to the Lord. Lord, I ask for mercy on Maria and everything that she just voiced. I unite her needs and those intentions to those who also now pray with me. We're all your children. We trust in your mercy. We turn to you now as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call comes from Sonny, listening in Austin, Texas. Hi, Sonny. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew.
Hey, man.
Can you hear me?
I can, yeah. Great to have you here. Thanks for calling.
Oh, I'm sorry, Drew. I'm so nervous, but I've got to give glory to God. I thank Relevant Radio so much for doing this Divine Mercy Chaplet and everything that is broadcast on Relevant Radio. I've been incarcerated for the past year and a half. I was just released.
Oh, praise God.
I had no criminal record. That I was went through a separation and began drinking and accumulated some DWIs.
Yeah.
I wrote my diocese and also the Shrine of Divine Mercy, and I was sent the Diary of St. Faustina,
wow,
along with a Bible and a catechism. And for 2 months solid, I prayed with my cellmate, whose name was Tank. He had it tattooed on his face. He said he never prayed before, and we prayed the Rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and the Stations of the Cross every day. And I was released at 1 o'clock in the morning on Good Friday.
Praise God.
After being incarcerated for a year and a half.
Wow.
And I haven't been convicted of anything, and so I beg God's mercy on my life and my family and my children's mother.
Well, look, brother, I'm going to be praying for you, too. And, Sonny, you know, as you're talking to me, you know what I was struck by? And so often we make mistakes. And I think of Romans 8:20, where God says he can bring good out of every situation. Just look back at your own story. Look how God used you in that jail cell to be with your cellmate, their Tank, and how you brought prayer to that community, how you brought the message of God's mercy. And those seeds have now been planted. And I know you're going to be a powerful apostle for divine mercy. You're going to be a powerful witness to others. So let's pray for you for any sort of addiction or proclivity that you might have. And bless God to protect you and give you the grace to fulfill the great mission I know that he has in store for your life. So I'm so glad you called. Congratulations for being out. And thanks for witnessing. And let's pray for you right now. Lord, I give you Sonny, and I give you every individual that's incarcerated right now. I pray for those who are falsely accused. I want to pray for those who are there because of addictions, because of the trauma of their life. And I just ask for healing and new beginnings. You said that the greater the sinner, the greater the right that they have to your mercy. I just love that, Lord. I believe that so deeply. I pray now for Sonny and all of his personal needs and intentions. And again, I pray for those who now are united to me in prayer, Father, as we turn to you once again. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Helen is listening in Chino, California. Hi, Helen. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call. My request for prayers are for my sister-in-law. She suffered a stroke this past week and is in rehab right now. So I'm praying for a complete healing for her and also for my brother, her husband, and their children, because it's very difficult on them as well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So God bless you, Helen. Great, great prayer, too. And I love that, because so often when we have a loved one that suffers, I just think of all those around that person who suffer. How much we love and how much our loved ones suffer. So, Lord, I pray for her sister-in-law. First of all, I pray for Helen, too, because I know she must have many intentions. Bless her and hear the cries of her heart. But I pray for her sister-in-law and all those who've had strokes, all those who have cognitive issues right now, all those who have ambulatory problems, all those who have speech problems. Lord, I just ask for the healing of the body, and I pray for those with debilitating diseases. And I give you my heart. And again, we thank you for your mercy. We place with all these intentions with confidence and trust in your merciful heart as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world. whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to New Rochelle, New York next. Alberto's listening to us there, praying with us as well. Hi, Alberto. Good afternoon.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. I just called to give God thanks because I did a pledge Friday, and I had a good news Saturday.
Oh, wow.
My pledge tripled 100%.
Oh, my Lord. Praise God for that. Alberto, I love that. I love that. Well, thank you.
I'm very emotional. I'm very emotional right now. I give thanks. Because I have 1-2 years, very, very bad financial problems.
Yeah.
You know, I give thanks.
Well, look, God is so good. God is in control of everything. And Alberto, we're going to pray for you now. We're going to pray for your finances. We're going to pray for your situation. I know there are a lot of people who've gone through the storm. It's been a year, two, three, maybe longer, where finances are their cross. They may have health. They may have other issues, but finances can be a debilitating cross. And first of all, I want to thank you for your charity. And I know that God always gives back. In your case, he gave back 100% three times over. But sometimes he answers with new opportunities, new jobs, healings, new relationships. Sometimes we build our spiritual treasure. I can't outgive God. I'm convinced of that. God is all giving, all loving. And Lord, I just pray for Alberto right now, this man who is emotional, going through a difficult time. You know him intimately, and I present him to you. Brace him in the rays of your mercy. And I pray for others right now, Lord, who are they're weighted down by their own crosses. I pray for finances today in particular, for real alleviation and for new beginnings, for miracles. You can come through as a God of providence and do so in a miraculous way. So I turn to you and I intercede once again on behalf of my brothers and sisters here as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Christine is listening in Wisconsin. Hi, Christine. Good afternoon.
Hello, Drew. I'm a longtime listener and a first-time caller. And
great.
Thank you. I have a wonderful answered prayer that was miraculous, but I will share that with you soon.
Good.
But today I would like to pray for my mother, who has an ulcer on her aorta, and it's inoperable because of her age, and I'm praying for a miracle.
All right, well, let's pray for that, Christine. Let's pray for that miracle, okay? I know how much you love your mother. So, your prayers, No, go ahead.
I got really lucky in the mom department.
Oh.
I couldn't have had a better mom.
Oh, that's so
sweet. The
most
loving woman in the world.
Well, she's lucky to have a daughter that recognizes that. You know, I mean, what a blessing you must be to her. I love it. Hey, yeah, we had an intention earlier.
I'm so sorry.
No, you go ahead, Christine. Please. No, go ahead.
They said that there's a small chance that if she kept her blood pressure low, that it could possibly heal, but she's in a lot of pain. And I think they just think it might go the other way and just tear. Right.
Well, here's the thing. What you've got to do is begin to put your trust in God. Don't worry about what the negative diagnosis is going to be, the problems that might loom. Let's ask God to heal your mother, okay? Let's just do that together right now. I don't limit God, Christine. I know you're emotional. I know how much you love your mother, and I know how easy it is to get concerned, but prayer is the best weapon that we have. It's the key to God's heart. It is. It's the key to God's heart. So let's pray right now. We had intentions earlier for, you know, people with problems with ulcers. And Lord, I just pray. We prayed for mothers. Christine brought that forward. I pray for mothers again. for health, for well-being, for healing of relationships. Pray for our elderly mothers. We pray for those who've gone before us. And I call upon the Mother of Mercy to intercede in particular in Christine's behalf. So, Lord, I give you this soul, and I unite her intentions to all who now are crying out for your mercy. Hear our prayers as we pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Health.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
St. Faustina.
Pray for us.
St. John Paul II.
Pray for us.
St. Peregrine.
Pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
St. Patrick.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko.
Pray for us.
Father Seraphim Mykolenko.
Pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory.
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hey, let's keep praying for each other, okay? There's a power in it. As God is answering your prayers, as those miracles are unfolding in your life, be sure and write them down and send them to me, okay? Drew@relevantradio.com. You can mark them anonymously. Just put in the byline, answered prayer, and then just tell me how God answered that prayer. You can send those intentions here, too. We pray for you every day. And again, thank you. Thank you for praying. Tell one other person about the chaplet. It's a wonderful thing to do. You can change lives. Stay with me. When I return, we will take a look at some news rattling the church. It seems that the German Catholic priests there are defying Pope Francis with the blessing of gay couples. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter @DrewMarianiShow.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Thank you. I can't believe I got one.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
888-914-9149.
Yeah, well, thanks for praying with me. I love that chaplet. You know I do. I hope you do, too. And I hope you'll tell others about it. Such a great prayer, isn't it? Before we talk about this next issue, and this, look, I before we even get into this issue regarding Germany and the blessings of so-called same-sex unions, and this whole thing, please pray for the church, okay? I just want to say that, you know, just as I say we need to pray for our country and our elected officials, you need to pray for our church, too. And I know so often we have our own list, right? We have our own litany of problems. You're praying for your family, your kids, this, that, your finances, your health, whatever it might be. We always focus internally. We have our own little microcosm. But yeah, we're chosen to live at this particular moment in time. It's a grace-filled time. St. Paul says, as evil rises, grace abounds all the more. I think there's so much going on in the world today. But make it part. I mean, it's a beautiful sacrifice. My philosophy on prayer is, you know, when I spend time praying for others and not myself, it's like an investment in my own bank. You know, it's my spiritual bank account, if you will. God can't be outdone. When you give time and sacrifice and prayer for others. I think it comes back to you in multiples. I do. That's my personal philosophy. So, but please, our church needs this. You know, Satan is a roaring lion, and he's out to destroy the church. Gates of hell will never prevail against it, but you can see the chaos. I'm going to tell you what's going on in Germany in just a second here. But before we get into that, I also just want to thank you. Because last week, you know, Relevant Radio had its had Spring Pledge Drive, and we have four of them a year where listeners supported. I know you, if you were tuned in at all last week, you probably heard it. Just want to bring you up to speed on where we are. Our goal was $2.7 million. And I'll tell you what, man, we not only hit the goal. I was a little nervous Tuesday, Wednesday. I wasn't sure. Things were a little bit slow. It came through in unbelievable numbers. And we not only superseded the $2.7 million goal, we are about $50,000 away right now from hitting $3 million. And that's generosity. That's real mercy. That's real charity. And I'm grateful to you for that. You know, we reach, 230 million households nationwide. We're heard over hundreds of radio stations, and that doesn't count the souls that listen to us around the world. And thank you for supporting this powerful outreach for Catholic evangelization, a mechanism in which we can take a look at everything from the culture to the church. And that's what I want to do today. I want to address some of these issues that could be confusing. You know, back in March, the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith, they issued a document that said that it's impossible. It's just impossible for priests to bless so-called same-sex unions. And the document came as a response to a question that was raised by someone about whether or not it was possible to do. And normally when those kind of questions are asked of any Vatican congregations, there's a one-word reply, yes, no, right, something like that. But the question, on this question, the CDF, the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith, it went much further. And they explained why it is impossible for the church to convey a blessing on a same-sex couple who attempted any kind of union, whether it's civil union or so-called marriage. And the issue boils down to this. There's no way that the church can offer a blessing on something that is, you know, sinful. And the statement riled the gay community. They felt betrayed by the Vatican after so many statements and actions by Pope Francis. You know, the Holy Father, signaled, you know, seemed to show an openness to changing the church's practice, if not teaching, regarding those with same-sex attraction and other sexual issues. So the world was shocked when this came out. So today in Germany, a number of priests, they decided to defy the Holy See's directive, and they helped. They went ahead and they held blessing ceremonies throughout the country for same-sex couples. This might be news to you. You might be hearing it for the first time today. I thought it'd be important to take a look at. What does the church teach? Of course, we always have to approach this issue with great love and great charity. And I know you may have a same-sex attraction or somebody you love does. And, you know, how does the church address this? Just to put it in, just to zoom out a little bit here, and J.D. Flynn's going to be joining me in about a second here. We'll get his take, and you're more than welcome to join us too. Just to put this in context, this comes in the context of a synod, right, that the church in Germany has been holding, and they've been addressing a number of issues, including how their local church is going to respond to the sexual revolution. And unfortunately, it seems that the majority of the bishops, you know, the clergy, even the lady in the country, you know, that you got to remember, the Protestant revolt began there, right? They're all too willing now to go along with and follow the culture, and they want to seek this change. Not just practice, but they want to change the teachings on issues like the ordination for women and contraception and homosexuality. So how the German bishops are going to respond to their priests doing this is how the big question really is how the Holy See is going to respond to this. That remains to be seen. So I just want to zoom in on this. We want to take a quick look at it. I mean, what's happening there? What's the church teach? What are the ramifications and implications of all this? And how do we, with love and with charity in the eyes of Christ, approach this? I'm joined by the co-founder and editor of The Pillar. I don't know if you've checked out this website or not. I've signed up for it. You ought to check this out. J.D. Flynn joins me. In fact, let me give you the web address real quick. It's pillarcatholic.com, pillarcatholic.com. They call it The Pillar. And it's a great resource for you. And they'll drill in and unpack many of these types of issues and give you a rock-solid Catholic view. J.D., of course, is a canon lawyer. He served as the chancellor in the Archdiocese of Denver and then communications director in the Diocese of Lincoln. And he joins us today to give us some perspective. Good to have you back. Good afternoon, J.D.
Hey, Drew, thanks so much for having me. How are you?
I'm well. I thought of you this morning when I saw this story erupt, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, what a mess. Do we have any idea? Maybe put some perspective on this. What's going on in Germany? Do we have any idea how many priests participate? Is this just an anomaly? Is it a rogue one or two? What's the mindset there in the church in Germany, and what's now unfolding?
It's certainly not a rogue one or two. So there have been priests in Germany and lay pastoral kind of workers, Germany people who work in parishes or other kind of chaplaincy settings, who have been planning for several weeks now this day that they've been calling the Love Wins Day. So May the 10th was going to be for them a day of Love Wins celebrations. And those celebrations, which they call the Love Wins celebrations, were going to, the focal point of them was going to be liturgical blessings for same-sex couples. So blessings that would take place in the context of a Catholic liturgy, whether it was a Mass or a liturgy of the Word. And many people who attended them wore kind of wedding garb, so they had the appearance in many ways of being kind of like a wedding. There wasn't a vow, someone was saying, I do, but still they had a lot of sort of the trappings of a wedding. And the idea was both to sort of demonstrate their theological perspective that this was what God wanted them to do, but also to protest the statement that you mentioned from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith back in March. It's not yet clear to me exactly how many sort of locations there were for this. We know that there were hundreds of priests who were involved in the planning of these things and intending to be involved in them, and that this was happening across Germany. And I think the real question is going to be how the bishops of Germany and German dioceses are going to respond. Because while some of the German bishops have said recently that this kind of thing, that the sort of protest movement isn't a good idea, or isn't a good way to sort of affect change in the church, none of them have sort of outright condemned it either, or said that this flies in the face of the church's theology of marriage and sexuality. And so the real question now is whether this having happened, whether the bishops are going to respond the way that the Holy See has told them they should respond, which is to say that this is inappropriate, can't happen again, or whether they're going to kind of stand with the priests who are participating in this.
Yeah, somebody sent me an article this morning, and Cardinal Burke was, quoted to say, hey, he basically spoke to clergy saying, hey, be brave, because you might see schism. Do you think we'll see a schism in the church between Germany and Rome? What do you think is going to come from this, if this persists?
Well, it's certainly possible. Cardinal Burke is not the only cardinal who has been sort of holding out the possibility that there could be a schism. So a schism happens when the Pope gives a bishop a directive, a particular direction, and the bishop refuses to observe it. And so if the Holy See instructs the bishops of Germany to tell their priests that they can't do this again, or to apply penalties to the priests who have done this, who have already done this, and the bishops don't do that, if they refuse to sort of stand with the Holy See at that point, that's when you could have sort of formally the canonical situation of schism. And the consequence of that would be that bishops who found themselves in schism, if the Holy Father declared them to be in schism, would be excommunicated. They would lose the right to exercise their office as bishop. They could even sort of permanently lose their office as bishop. It would be a very, very big deal. Not a particularly unique situation in the entire 2,000-year history of the church. It certainly happened many times before. But in our lifetime, it would be the first time that we would have seen bishops sort of declared formally to be in schism and all the things that go along with that.
George Weigel, who's a great papal biographer and just a brilliant man, he came out and he says, look, the church in Germany is called to fidelity, right? They're called to follow this revealed truth rather than the spirit of the times. And I sit back here and I marvel. I mean, this to me is kind of black and white. It's pretty clear. I mean, I don't understand why the spirit of the time seems to be getting so much traction. These questions, I know the Synod in Germany, I mean, there were questions raised about the things such as homosexuality and the contraception. These are settled church teachings. They've been settled by the church for a long time. I mean, how does this become a reality?
Well, here's what's happened is mass attendance and practice of the Catholic faith in Germany has collapsed. I mean, just imploded in on itself over the past two decades, and really in an exponential way where it gets worse and worse and worse every single year. And a lot of people would say, well, that decline in Catholic practice may have begun even with the wholesale rejection of Humana Vitae and with the sense that, you know, that there was not really nothing that's made living the Catholic life stand out apart from living the ordinary secular life, that kind of Catholicism is not attractive and that it doesn't keep people. And I think that's probably, you know, that's certainly my experience, is that the experience of the church is the experience of being challenged to live as God calls us to, and the fulfillment and flourishing that comes with that. But because the faith has been so precipitously declining, There's a sense that the bishops are trying to find ways to get people to reconsider the church or come back into the church. Now, the right way to do that is to proclaim the gospel wholly and entirely, to say, hey, you were made for something so much more than what the culture says. You were made to live in the image of God by living in accord with the teaching, the revealed teachings of the church. The wrong way to do that is to say, hey, we want you to come to Mass and share in our traditions, but you can keep on doing all the things that you want to do. That's just not attractive, and there's no place where that sort of method of evangelization has been proven to be effective. But it seems like as the German bishops in their synod talk about the idea of sort of recapitulating all of these really, settled theological issues, a lot of it seems to be a desire to accommodate the prevailing secular ethos instead of to offer something which stands in market contrast to it.
Yeah, that's a great point. We'll take a few calls. If you want to join us, I'm going to open the phones in just a second. You can get in right now at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Feel free to dial in anytime. Always great to have you as part of the conversation. I think you and I had talked about this, Pat, in a previous conversation. I didn't realize this, but the church in Germany, it's actually taxed. Does the state tax the church? Is that one of the reasons why people are leaving the church as well? Does this taxation play a role in some of this?
It's interesting. So the Catholic Church in Germany is taxpayer funded. If you are baptized a Catholic as an infant, the government keeps a record of that, or if you're a Lutheran or any other number of religions, and a portion of your income tax goes to the church to which you belong. As a consequence of that, the German church is extraordinarily rich. I mean, they're realizing tens of billions of dollars on an annual basis from this tax.
Wow.
That money, I think, presents certain problems for the German bishops in terms of their fidelity. Sometimes maybe a little bit too much is not a helpful thing.
All right, let's do this. We'll grab a call or two. If you want to get in, 888-914-9149. Donna is listening in Jacksonville, Florida. Donna, good afternoon.
Hi there.
Hey.
First of all, I just want to thank you for everything you guys do. It's just, you have saved me through this pandemic. So.
Oh, so sweet. Thank you. Thank you,
and
Donna.
I'm awaiting, you're welcome, and I'm awaiting your Divine Mercy book, and I can't wait for it.
I hope you get it soon.
Me too. I just wanted to say it seems, it's so upsetting, but it also seems very similar to what happened, I think, in the 60s, 70s, and even 80s of priests here in the U.S. that were absolving so many people, so many women of confessing using contraception. And I used to work with a woman who would tell me, and she's like, oh, yeah, he just said, you know, it's fine. It's just so sad that, you know, you try to be faithful to our teachings, and then the very people that are supposed to be, you know, teaching us further on the teachings and why it's this way, they can't even adhere to it themselves.
Yeah. Well, Donna, thanks for the call, and it's a good point. Again, we go back to the need to really pray for our priests, our bishops, and our cardinals. And J.D., I'll let you respond to Donna and her comments. Your thoughts, she sees the parallel to what happened here when you water down the faith and you begin to excuse things that are clearly immoral.
Yeah, I think there is a parallel there. You know, one critical difference, unfortunately, is that what's happening in Germany is an institutionalization of that. So the Church of the United States has certainly had bad periods of bad pastoral practice, and especially surrounding these moral issues that you mentioned, contraception and other things. What's happening now in Germany is a sort of, with their synodal path, is a sort of wholesale endorsement of that pastoral practice by the bishops. And that's where things become, I think, all the more compounded, Donna, because it's not just that a priest is not listening to the church, but that those who are purport to speak for the church are speaking falsely. And so, you know, to your point, Drew, I think it becomes all the more important to pray for those bishops, to pray for the Pope, whose job it is to preserve the unity of the church, to pray for Catholics in Germany that the gospel will be proclaimed wholly and entirely and fully. But you're right, I think there are parallels and at the same time a sort of escalation of that situation.
Well, J.D., hang out with me. I take a short pause. When we come back, we'll take a few more calls. If you are just joining us, we're taking a look at, well, some controversy in the church and a call for us to really respond, I think, with prayer. The congregation, well, we're seeing confusion in the Church of Germany. I won't go into all the details right now. Stay with me. I've got to take a short pause. We come back. I'll fill you in if you're just joining me, and we'll continue our conversation. Don't go away. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Here at the Drew Mariani Show, we don't wave a political flag. We wave the Catholic flag.
Yeah, that's right.
Drew Mariani is here for you on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, boy, time flies, doesn't it? Great to be here with you. Great to hang out with you. Thanks for joining me. I'm here to call you to prayer. I want to pray for the church, in particular the church in Germany. I was reading an article earlier today. It was the Wall Street Journal. And this journal article, I think it was over the weekend. Maybe I saw it the other day. The headline grabbed my attention. It said, German Catholic priests defy Pope Francis with public blessings of gay couples. And then the picture showed a picture of St. Agnes Catholic Church in Cologne, Germany. And it was taken in March. It was draped with a pride flag to protest the Vatican's document that banned the blessing of same-sex relationships. A lot of people, as I was saying, thought, oh, Pope Francis is he's open to this. You know, this is going to be good. That was not the case. So the Catholic clergy, they decided, hey, in defiance of this Vatican ban on this practice, they're going to push the boundaries. So a number of priests, a lot of lay ministers, they coordinated ceremonies. They blessed gay relationships in about 100 Catholic churches in venues across Germany. This is going to take place over several days. And today, I know it unfolded. There were 20 events that are going to be live streamed. That's how prolific this is. So these types of blessings have become, I don't want to say common over the past decade in Germany, but they've taken place in Northern Europe and Germany and usually very quietly in places other than churches. But what's happening today is highly visible, and it marks a protest against the Vatican Declaration in March, approved by Pope Francis, prohibiting the blessing of same-sex relationships on the grounds that God cannot bless sin. So what are we going to see? I've invited J.D. Flynn to join me today. We're talking about everything from schism to what it means for the future of the church there. J.D. is the editor-in-chief of The Pillar, and you ought to check this out. The Pillar, I want to say thepillar.com. It's pillarcatholic.com. PillarCatholic.com. Sign up to, I'm telling you, a great resource. Him and Ed Condon do a yeoman's job, just amazing. And JD, it's good to have you back. Before we jump into the phones, you and I were just talking briefly off air. Why don't you share with everyone what we were talking about, and also maybe you can tell everyone a little bit about the website. We can dive into this issue in greater detail.
Sure, absolutely. So, yeah, so at the Pillar, pillarcatholic.com, We were reporting on this issue on Friday. For a few weeks, Drew, I've been wondering just what would actually happen legally if a German bishop were declared to be in schism, if he were excommunicated, if he lost his office. Kind of what would happen? And so we did a little bit of digging. We talked to some German legal scholars and experts, and it turns out that German law is very different from American law in one important way, and that way is that German law recognizes the diocesan bishop of a particular diocese according to the authority of the Vatican. It basically recognizes the authority of the Vatican to decide who the bishop is. And that means that if the Vatican said a bishop was irregular for exercise of his orders, the German government would respect that, and he wouldn't have sort of authority over the checking accounts or anything else. Now, what's really interesting about that, to me at least, is that that agreement between Germany and the Holy See is the 1933 Reichskonkordat, the very, very controversial treaty that the Holy See made with the Nazi regime at the beginning of the Nazi government of Germany, which it turns out is still in force and might well have bearing on this. So for me, at least, just when I thought this story couldn't get any weirder, the Reichskonkordat kind of popped up and just makes the whole thing a little bit more complicated.
Well, fascinating. And you wrote on that there, so people can read about that if they want at pillarcatholic.com.
They sure can, yeah. So pillarcatholic.com, and we lay out exactly how this treaty between the Holy See and Germany, the Reichskonkordat, would impact the situation if a German bishop were declared to be in schism.
Wow. I'm going to have to check it out. Fascinating how God works. Chip is listening in Augusta, Maine. Chip, you are on the air with J.D. Flynn. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for letting me participate.
You're welcome.
I just want to touch on this to let you know. I was a Catholic, raised Catholic, but, you know, as I became in my early 20s and became consumed with my own excellence, I left the Catholic Church, questioning the Pope and the authority of the Church and all these things. Mm-hmm. And I ended up at the Episcopal Church in Maine, and I was there during this insidious movement to start blessing same-sex unions and the like. Yeah. I actually was appointed to the state's Council on Human Sexuality. It was appointed by the bishop of the Episcopal Church at the time. Wow. And but you just see that this is the point of my thing, as these things increase within the church, maybe the church, as the church abandoned the gospel, as it were, participation declined. The church I was in, it certainly experienced the normal decline that we've seen in the last 20, 30 years that other churches have, but by the time this was said and done, and the church had fully embraced this sort of behavior, the entire church family that came on Sunday could sit in the choir pews, much less fill the other pews. So this is the kiss of death. To abandon the gospel will not go unnoticed. And I would certainly, in my small part of the world, if I could say anything to the Jim priest, take it through, because this will not go well.
Such a brilliant point, Chip. Thank you. Thanks for calling, and thanks for bringing that up. To your point, too, J.D., I mean, if you want to bring people back to the church, you preach the truth. You don't water down and go with the cultural winds.
Well, and that's the example of our Lord, right? I mean, so many things that our Lord says in the gospel just fly in the face of our own sensibilities and the culture of the in which he lived. And our Lord is not shy about telling the truth. He does so with love, with immense, intense personal love, but he tells the truth, that born out of that love, and that's attractive, because what we're looking for is to know the truth and to live it, and that's the gift of the gospel. To lose that gift is really to lose the uniqueness and the meaning of the gospel itself, I think.
Hey Chip, thank you, great call. We'll go to Mike listening in Annapolis, Maryland. Mike, hi, you're on the air with J.D. Flynn. Good afternoon.
Hey Drew, nice hearing from you again. Hey, Mike. You know, I guess my question is that when you have this institutional attachment of the state to the church, like you kind of do in Germany and probably other places throughout Europe, is that contributing to the reduction in not only a church attendance but church identity throughout Europe? You know, it's really heartbreaking to think about what's happened in Ireland over the last 30 years. You know, there's been tremendous wealth built up there, but I would argue, you know, church religious identification with the church has gone down. And to think, you know, we have problems in this country, but I would argue in Germany throughout Europe, it's probably much more defined. I remember going to Mass, Sunday Mass in Berlin like 20 years ago, and I can't remember the name of the cathedral, but it was a beautiful cathedral holding several thousand people, but yet they held Mass in a crypt church, where I was one of about 10 people there. So, anyway, just wanted to comment on the attachment between the state and the church throughout Europe.
Yeah, and J.D., I'll let you follow up on that. To your point, Mike, though, statistically speaking, I think you're so right. Europe was once home to the world's Catholics. You know, that's no longer the case. But back in 1910, 65% of all Catholics lived on that continent. Century later, you look at, 21 now, I think the number is something like 24%, 23%. The numbers are unbelievably low. J.D., let's talk about that. We're seeing diminishment in faith there, and to Mike's point, I thought he brought up an interesting question.
It certainly can be. I mean, it seems to be, it's a great point, Mike. I'm glad you bring it up. The problem is it's a complicated question, because the church herself says, look, the the idea of a sort of absolute separation of church and state is not an especially Catholic principle, and that one of the duties of government is to support and call people to the practice of true religion. So the church herself says that government does have some connection to the deepest kind of truth, which is the faith. But at the same time, I think you're right that if that's not managed very, very, very carefully, if the relationship between church and state isn't managed very, very carefully, then it can become problematic, because you can become sort of dependent upon the government, and if you're dependent upon an elected government, then you're dependent upon the satisfying the whims of the people. And so that kind of dependency, I think, can become very unhealthy and can lead to a sort of institutional ennui or malaise inside of the church, to be sure. Now, we live in something of a glass house ourselves, because the practice of the faith is declining here in the United States, too. If you look to the places in the world where the faith is really flourishing, it's places where there's a real apostolic vitality among priests, clergy, and among families especially. So I think, that question of church and state is, I think, an extremely complicated question. But the less complicated part of it is that the faith flourishes where families practice the faith and where they invite other people to join in with them in the practice of that faith. And, I think that Europe secularized in that way ahead of the United States. Unfortunately, I don't think we're too far behind, and so we need a real renewal of that here in our own country as well.
JD, thanks. Thanks for being here with me. We'll continue to follow this story. Please follow JD on Twitter at JD Flynn. You want to follow him?
That's
you can great. Also.
Thanks so much, Drew, for having me.
You got it. Check out PillarCatholic.com too. It's a great resource for you. News and headlines are straight ahead. I'll be back on the other side. Stay with me.